The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Yeah, you're very welcome along. Well, terrible news came through this morning. Just 55 years of age, Gary Halpin, Irish international, has passed away. Some extremely fond tributes coming from Mick Galway, Nick Popewell and Keith Wood this hour. After 8 o'clock, Tiger Woods faces about the toughest road back to golf that he has faced, and that is saying something. Eamon Lynch from Golf Channel Golf Week will join us to assess where Woods goes from here. Keen Tracy will be along on Wednesday Night Rugby, and then on the football show, Neil Lennon's resignation at Celtic up for discussion. And there's that new Pelé documentary on Netflix you may have seen. I watched it earlier on. Pretty interesting. The great Tim Vickery is going to join us around 9:25 to give us his thoughts. If you've seen it, drop us a text, 53106. Add off the ball on Twitter. Adrian Barry, hello.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
Very good. Richie McCormack, how are you?
How are you, Joe?
So, what's going on? Have either of you seen the Pelé documentary, Adrian? Pelé documentary?
No.
It's pretty good.
I'm always wary of Pelé stuff because I don't know if anybody's ever seen that once-in-a-lifetime documentary that they did about the New York Cosmos some years back. It was based on Gavin Hamilton's brilliant book. And Pelé doesn't feature in it. And it comes up at the end, you know, the credits roll, and they say Pelé didn't want to take part in this documentary. And that little vignette is accompanied by the sound of a cash register ringing, because Pelé is notoriously keen to only do stuff for the cash and only wants to put a certain spin on the Pelé narrative out there, which is, you know, I guess understandable, given that he's the greatest player of all time. But anything that goes against the Pelé is the greatest narrative is usually pretty sharpishly shot down by the man himself.
I had the same fear, I must say. I hadn't planned to watch it until we decided let's do a piece on it and get Tim Vickery on, which, you know, will just be interesting to get Tim's thoughts on it. So there's definitely, look, it's quite striking. It starts with some old shots of Pelé, and then there's a room and an empty chair. And you know Pelé eventually is going to walk to the chair and sit down to be interviewed. But of course, he comes on with a walking aid because the man's in his 80s now. It's kind of an arresting image when you see it. And to be fair, it's not a total whitewash job. I mean, he talks about his infidelity, talks about really doing nothing during the 60s at the height of the military coup and dictatorship, and he's questioned, could you have done more, could you have said more, and he defends himself. So, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's warts and all, but it's definitely not the kind of, hey, I'm Pelé, I'm great. How much am I getting paid again for this thing? It's not that either, you know.
The most important thing, Alvin Joe, does it concentrate on the greatest acting turn of all time in Escape to Victory, the best movie of all time?
So far, no. It's gone very much chronologically, and I only got to 1970. I had to race in here and do the rest
of
the show.
When we get to 1981, and he's lining out alongside Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, and Mike Summerby, then we can talk.
I thought for a second when you said the acting job, you were going to talk about the commercials for impotency, where he would stress, if I had this problem, if I did.
Really great acting, Pelé.
It's all about Escape to Victory, Joe. That is 2 hours well spent on ITV4 at least once a month.
So let's crack on, because the clock is already slightly against us. We have Nick Popewell, Mick Galway and Keith Wood talking about Gary Halpin at this hour. We recorded this and streamed it earlier on, and the lads paid such an unbelievably warm tribute to Gary Halpin. I want to make time for that. The News Round on Off the Ball and News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. This threw me, I have to say, Richie. This messed up my sense of where I was in the week when I saw Europa League action, but there was Europa League action.
And Tottenham, already the first name in the hat for the last 16 of the Europa League. An acrobatic effort from Dele Alli set them on the road to a 4-0 victory at home to the Austrians of Wolfsburg this evening. An 8-1 aggregate victory for Jose Mourinho's side. Carlos Vinicius scored twice. Gareth Bale also among the goals. Matt Doherty providing the assist for that brilliant Alli opener. And Spurs in the draw for Friday's last 16 of the Europa League. There's an 8 p.m. start to both of tonight's Champions League last 16 first legs. Manchester City's quest for an historic quadruple has taken them to the neutral city of Budapest for the away leg of their tie with Borussia Mönchengladbach, while last season's surprise package Atalanta are at home to Real Madrid.
Did you watch any of the football last night, Adrian?
No.
Did you not?
No, I'm flitting between. It was funny, I was having a conversation with one of our colleagues today about there just being too much sport on, Joe. So sometimes you just got to check out a little bit. And that's wow. what I did last night. I crashed out putting the kids to bed. So
wow. Champions League knockout stages. That is, it's getting serious.
I know. There's just too much going on. I'm sorry. Right. That's where I'm at.
Interesting. Because I saw you were trying to, what did Tommy Martin say? Fact check. Niall Quinn's interview on Virgin with Tommy. Is that you're spending your time?
He rightly called me out. It's been a long 12 months, Joe. That's all I'll say to you. I did go back to Tommy and say that I've enjoyed the interview that he did. Part one of the interview he did with Niall Quinn last week, but I just wanted to pick them up on a point they made about Roy Keane, where Niall had said that Roy, in a game in the Manchester Derby, it was a FA Cup game, referee gave a soft penalty, which to be fair it was, but he gave it on the basis that Roy had balled him out. Now, he between blowing the whistle for what Niall had said should have been a free to Man City and then deciding it was a free kick, Keane wouldn't have had any opportunity to give him any feedback, let's call it. It was a terrible.
I did some fact checking as well when the Virgin Media tweeted the clip, or I think they played it this morning, of Quinn talking about the US Cup tour of 1992 and Keane shooting back at Mick McCarthy's criticism of the team's performance after Jack and Morris Setters had set off towards the airport on their own. I was like, surely McCarthy wasn't hanging around by that stage. And was Quinn even on that tour? But yeah, I had to bring out the old US Cup squads of 1992 and see that they were all three present over in the USA getting hammered by America and by Italy at the time.
Well, that was the infamous you call what you have a first touch line, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. But like, the thing about it is, look, at even in relation to my point, which is that clearly Keane had not said that to the, like, even in Niall's account, the referee said something back
just
to Roy.
Just let it go.
Like,
it's a good story. It's a good story.
It could
just
not have happened. But to be exactly, to be fair, like 30 years have passed, everybody's memory gets a little bit embellished. They get stories get polished up a little bit and get told on the circuit and they become something else. And to be fair, that's human nature. It just so happens that they were like, most famous.
Go easy. You're going to put us out of business. I mean, we start fact-checking right. every story here. We're goosed. Right. Just chill. Right. Now, I mentioned the very sad news. Gary Halpin, Richie.
Yeah, friends and former teammates, as you mentioned there, Joe, leading the tributes to Gary Halpin following his death at the age of just 55. The Kilkenny native won 11 Ireland caps and scored a famous try against the All Blacks, perhaps more famous as a celebration in the 1995 Rugby World Cup in South Africa. A prop by trade, he played for Leinster, London Irish and Harlequins. And Halpin also represented Ireland at the 1987 World Athletics Championships in the Hammer.
What really emerges, and you'll see it in the conversation with Mick Galway, who had only bumped into Gary Halpin a few weeks ago and was on the, you know, they were in the street in Kilkenny, doubled over laughing. And Nick Popwell had only phoned him a couple of weeks ago, and Keith Wood, who spent hour upon hour with Halpin in London watching movies, and Halpin was the first man to shave Keith Wood's head, never grew back, as Keith says himself. What really emerges about this 1990s team is it wasn't a great period on the field, but actually they were a tight-knit crew, and they still seem to be a tight-knit crew. And even if Halpin, with his 11 caps, wasn't a headline act necessarily in all our eyes looking on, as you know, with the great player, he wasn't the Simon Gagan, but in their eyes, within the team, he was most certainly, Adrian, the headline act.
Yeah, it was funny because I remember the show where he came on with us, and people should go and check it out. I watched back a little bit of it earlier. He was on with us down in Dolphin about 3 years, maybe even a bit less than that. Might be just over 2 years ago.
2018. We're going to play some back of it end back. Yeah, we're going to play
2018,
some.
Yeah. I remember that time, JP, who, as you know, has a great eye for somebody who's going to make a good contributor and is going to be funny. I remember him. We were discussing who we'd have on that night, and I remember getting contacted by Gary Halpin, and it was not a name that we used to necessarily discussed that much in terms of contributing. And JP was like, I think he might have been speaking to him, and he was like, listen, this guy's like a stand-up comedian. And we were all maybe a little bit dubious, and he came on and he had the room in the palm of his hand. He was brilliant, brilliant watch. But funny, Joe, I have a bunch of programs here from a lot of early 1990s Ireland international games. For anybody who's watching, could probably see that there. They're quaint kind of programs. That's from Rugby World Cup 91, in fact. And I just did a bit of digging through them to get a bit of a sense of like who he was and his contributions as a team. And like, it might have only been 11 caps, I think, for Ireland, but like at a time where 11 caps is probably the equivalent to 40, 50, obviously now at this stage. But there was one profile. This is Scotland, Ireland. There's a bunch of lovely little pieces about him in the various programs. But one profile, I might just give you a quick sense of what it says about him, because I thought it actually captured him and his career quite nicely. And I'll keep it brief here, but he said that he had taken a sports scholarship to Manhattan University to concentrate on his other international sport, the hammer throw, and represented Ireland at the 87 World Athletics Championships. On returning to Ireland, won a place on the tour to North America in 1989 and won his first cap against England in 90. After that game, lost his place to Fitzgerald, and last season won a B cap against Argentina, and then returned to the international squad as a replacement for all four championship matches and both tests during the Namibian tour. And I think it gives a good sense of his career, the path it take, the journey it took, the journey he was on. Mm. He was second fiddle for a lot of his career, I think, to Des Fitzgerald, maybe to a degree, and Peter Clawsey as well. I think probably was squeezed out of a lot of caps, given the quality that he was behind. But it gives a good sense of, and I know, having listened to the lads earlier on, they pay great tribute to him as a character as well. But as a sporting career, that's a lovely snapshot of a very varied sporting journey.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll play the lads in about 15 minutes' time. Well worth sticking around for. Meanwhile, Richie, the GAA are looking at the living with COVID roadmap, and they're not sure what to make of it.
Nobody is, Joe. The GAA is seeking further clarity from the government regarding a return to play. The association says it will be Easter at the earliest before any intercounty action is possible. It looks like it's going to be a May beginning for the Allianz Leagues. The GAA saying this afternoon that the government's living with COVID roadmap makes it impossible to plan for fixtures in 2021.
Tiger?
Yeah, it was said to be awake and responsive and indeed recovering, most importantly, in a Los Angeles hospital following a horror car crash last night. The 15-time major winner needed to be extricated from his car after leaving the road and crashing at speed. Woods suffered fractures affecting the upper portions of the tibia and fibula bones. Dr. Anish Mahajan also said trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. Woods had been planning to return from a recent back surgery in time for the Masters in April.
Lucky to be alive was the general verdict, Adrian. Extraordinary.
Yeah, going too fast, it seems, the local police are saying. What's your sense, Joe? I mean, like, it's very, we don't know the full details, obviously, the extent of his injury, but that notwithstanding, in terms of, he was only coming back, wasn't he? He was waiting for MRI scans on his back.
He had his fifth back surgery in December, so
have we potentially seen the last of him?
As he was, yeah, I would think there's a massive chance we have. To play elite golf, to drive the ball 300 yards. I mean, I'm not a doctor, I don't know anything. But he was already in a bad place with his back, I think, worse than he was letting on. And at the Genesis on Sunday, the way he was talking to Jim Nance, who was asking him, will we see it at Augusta? Like, that's where it is with Woods now. It's not even, will we see you play a regular event? It's like, can you manage it the four times a year and maybe one or two others? And Woods was very unsure. He was saying, look, I have to have another MRI. It depends what's in that. I mean, this is still nobody knows territory. And this was his fifth back surgery, not to mention all the other surgeries. So, I mean, the injuries, like, if anyone's eating their dinner, they can flick off for a second. But just reading about them, even a comminuted fracture of the tibia and fibula in the lower leg. So comminuted means multiple fractures. Like, this isn't a clean break. And also, it was an open fracture. So, I mean, the bone has gone through the skin. And it's just, you know, it's hard to imagine. And then the ankle has been shattered. So there's all sorts of pins. And I was listening to a doctor on the Golf Channel. And he was saying, you know, you have to see where that goes. There might need to be a fusion there. And so that could be almost his biggest problem when it comes to mobility in the ankle. And then the other thought I had, I have to say, and I've just personal experience of this in the last year or so, and by comparison my accident was like a speed bump, but I mean, you know, it's not necessarily in the days after your back it lets you know how serious the thing was. I mean, it can be months afterwards, and I just wonder the odds of a rolling vehicle like that and his back coming through unscathed. You know, you add all that up, and I'm just glad he's okay in terms of he's going to be around for his kids and the rest of his life, hopefully, and it's not going to affect his, you know, his living to be an old man. So it's great in that respect. But yeah, when you think about playing golf anytime soon, I don't know. He's 46 in December, Adrian, you know. I mean, he was already on borrowed time for a man with his body, and now it's devastating. As quite a few of the players have said, if anyone has the mental fortitude to come back and have the desire to come back and to actually do it painstaking day after painstaking day, it might just be Tiger Woods.
Yeah, well, imagine, look at who knows, and I'm intrigued that the Golf Channel had a doctor on earlier to speculate about it. I'm not a bit surprised that you were watching that, but you can only imagine the journey that he'll be on over the next, God knows how long it takes you to get over that. But like, if he could, you know, there will be a lot of speculation and chat. Like, he himself may not know now, he himself may not know in 2 months' time, but you can only imagine what would happen if he manages to get himself back on a tee at a tournament at some point. You know, I think that'd be monster, which is an entirely different proposition from being able to compete for a major championship, of course.
Yeah. Who knows? As you said, I think you're right. I don't think any of them know right now. I think it's still a very serious situation. Eamon Lynch is going to join us after 8 o'clock. Always a really great contributor from the Golf Channel and Golf Week. So Eamon with us just after 8 o'clock. Neil Lennon, of course, Richie. I mean, this was...
this would have been the top story.
To say this has been coming as well, I mean, is an understatement.
Yeah, Neil Lennon, no longer the manager of Scottish Premiership champions Celtic. He resigned this morning following a disappointing season that's seen them falter in the defence of their title. A defeat to Ross County on Sunday left them 18 points adrift of rivals Rangers, who now just need 7 more points to claim the league and, of course, deprive Celtic of that 10 in a row. Lennon's assistant, John Kennedy, will take charge of the team for now.
Ian Henderson.
New contract for him, says he's only ever had eyes for playing in Ireland. The Lock has signed an extension to stay with Ulster through to the summer of 2023. And ahead of Saturday's trip to Italy in the Six Nations, Henderson has talked up the role played by Ireland lineout coach Paul O'Connell.
I think I mentioned this the last time someone was chatting about Pauly. Pauly hasn't come in and tried to reinvent anything. He hasn't tried to take everything away of what we had learnt before. What he has done is has let us continue to work with what we were doing and adding small tweaks to make us better and better session by session, adding bits of detail that we might be missing, ensuring that we are getting as consistent the line out as possible for be it the hookers, the jumpers and the lifters, to make sure that ultimately we can have a smooth week running into the game as possible. And the same with Foggs. Foggs has been incredible with sort of the insight that he's brought into the scrum. And again, he's making the scrum feel not only about front row, but it's about the 8 players that are in the scrum. Because very often what can happen in scrum meetings is it happens in front rows, just sit and talk more or less in a different language than everyone else. And as a second rows, we just stick our heads in and push. Whereas Foggs has brought a whole new dimension to it, if you like, and was really encapsulating the 8 as one, I suppose, as he likes to put it, to ensure that we're getting those performances throughout the week, building for the weekend, the same as the lineout.
That's pretty interesting, Ian Henderson. Fellas, we are done. We're out of time. Thank you so much, Adrian Barry. Cheers. Watch the football this evening.
I will. I'm awake. I was tired yesterday, Joe. I'm up for it.
Richie, thanks a mil.
Good luck.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.